And now I'd like to move across the floor and welcome your arch nemesis and foe, Professor John Palfrey, to continue the case of the opera.
Such an important issue of our day. I want to take seriously, very seriously, the argument that the proposition make in favor of internet as the greatest force for democratization in the world. I want to believe Professor Ebert. I want to believe what you're about to hear about Burma. I want to believe that this is the greatest force for democratization in the world. And I'll take very seriously these arguments. So here's what I hear them saying. I hear in the first instance the gentleman, the honorable member from Grayson Mews College, from South Boston, but not quite, makes the argument that the internet is great really for, he says three reasons, but I think he means two. He says it's great for informing, people about more stuff, sort of like newspapers, television, radio, and so forth. He says inculcating. I have no idea what he meant with inculcating. I'm trying to take it seriously. He meant something. I didn't get it. I'm sorry. I'm a country lawyer. And then he says mobilizing. Mobilizing to do great things, to bring down the great firewall of China. I don't know what else. I didn't have very many other examples. Then he started talking about the UN. Now, when you start in the opening argument of a debate taking on the United Nations, how hard is this? and what in the world does it have to do with the effect of internet on democratization? Slagging the United Nations. Please, I encourage.
If not the internet, if not the UN.
I'll come to this. May I please return to this at the end? United Nations. Outrageous. Anyway, funny. Ron Deber makes the same point on mobilization, right? His argument is mass participatory democracy. That is what the internet does. Okay, so let's take that seriously for a second. There are wonderful geeks in this room. I love geeks. I love all of you. When you come to vote for the sides, vote in favor of the opposition. Geeks, you in fact may well be using the internet in a way that is in favor of democracy. I buy that. I buy that the geeks who are building tools like Cypher are doing good things for democracy. Nart Villeneuve, you are a force for democracy. You are a force for democracy. Sure. No doubt about it. Hear, hear. Nart. Thank you all. Roger Dingerman. There are people in this room who are forces for democratization. No doubt about it. But mass mobilization? Mass participatory democracy. The point of information that I would like to ask Professor Deibert is, how many people use this tool that you have built to pierce the Great Firewall of China? How many people use the internet, period? Let's start there, just for simplicity's sake. In the world, there are 6 billion people. How many people use the internet to begin with? About 1 billion people, right? That's good, But there are access problems, as our gentleman Grayson Mews College has succeeded, which is not everybody has access in the first instance. Of those 1 billion people, the people who make this wonderful, best in the world, I'm willing to grant you, you have the best circumvention tool in the entire world, and it was wonderful when they released it. It was a wonderful thing. The Globe and Mail in Toronto ran a photograph of the gentleman who meets in Vancouver on the front, piercing the Great Firewall of China. And it is true, some people did download this tool. He hasn't been willing to tell us yet how many. I think it's tens of thousands, maybe 100,000 people have downloaded this tool to pierce the Great Firewall of China. So there's 6 billion people in the world. There are 1 billion people who have access to the internet, and a few tens of thousands. At point of information, I'd be happy to know that there are many more than tens of thousands of Sci-Fi nodes out there. But mass participatory democracy, I don't think we're seeing it here with the internet. So, taking seriously your arguments, I don't think there's much of a prayer to make in favor of this proposition, but I would, with my good colleague here, say in fact that the internet is a force against democratization at the moment. Doesn't have to be, but I think that it is a yes. Here are the three reasons. Let's talk about the real usage of internet. How do people actually use the internet? I don't think that's in favor of democratization. Second is the extent to which internet and the way we use it reinforces the institutions that are not particularly democratic at the moment, and the extent to which the internet is a tool for tyrants. And then I will answer your question as to what is the greatest force for democratization in this world. So first off is the real usage. An honorable member of the Jesus College notes that in this fine house, the thing that is on the docket for the libraries this week is whether or not to procure Debbie Does Dallas. On the internet, how did the internet become a worldwide phenomenon? What are the 1 billion minus 10,000 or so people doing on the internet? The internet is for porn. Have you ever seen that little video? The internet is for porn. Anybody know this? Right?
What are the primary uses of a circumvention tool? Are they not to get porn?
Censoring the internet has gone from 2 to 25. The front page of the International Herald Tribune had not a picture but a quote from my colleague, Professor Diebert. His quote in the International Herald Tribune was, "It's increasing at an alarming rate. Censorship of the internet is increasing at an alarming rate." And I don't see how you could twist the argument to say that's because the thing behind it is so powerful. It is a tool for the censor to do what it couldn't do before as effectively. It is a tool for surveillance. Why do you need Siphon? Why do you need these CGI proxies and other geeky things? It's because the government can listen in on your conversations if you use it for this. This is a tool for tyrants, ladies and gentlemen, not a tool for mass political, whatever they say. Lastly, to answer your question, to quote an American senator, the internet is a series of tubes. The internet is not a force. The internet is a bunch of wires. It's a bunch of radio waves. The force, the greatest force for democratization, it's people. It's all of us. It's everybody. It's the gentleman from East Vancouver. It's NART. It's Mike. It's all of us and what we do with it. It's not the network. The network is stupid. The network is purposely stupid. A series of twos. No intelligence in the middle of the network. The internet is not a force for democratization, but we all are, and we should go do it.
Campaign, people started giving donations to him. Not thousands of dollars, but $50 using his website. What's the end result of this? Well, Dean didn't win, but what actually happened was that, but that's the key point. He changed the median point within his party, and it's arguable that the position of the Democratic Party has shifted today because of the Dean campaign. So we have a Democratic influence on every Democratic senator running for office today, including those running for the presidency. So you can't laugh at that point. So, what's going on here? It's about the interaction between the internet and institutions. And I would like to take John's point and finish off on that, which is, yeah, there is a force for democratisation, and institutions might stop it being so, but it also has the ability to reform institutions, as it did in that election. It changed what the outcome would have otherwise been. And I don't think there's a dichotomy between people and the network that you made out. We are the network, and the network allows us to do the things we want to do.
I'd like to thank the gentleman for his speech, and now look for a speech in opposition. And I'd like to recognise the secretary to speak, and if the president-elect would like to come and do something.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's all very well talking about the USA, Estonia, Russia, but what about us here and now? And I want to bring a quite recent event to the discussion table as a result. Last week, there was quite an embarrassing incident where the student press in Oxford believed that a few prominent members of the Oxford Union were involved with naked wrestling. on a croquet lawn at 4 a.m. Now, if this wasn't bad enough for the Union, the Daily Mail, the epitome of British journalism, decided to run an article along these lines, something of Union disgrace on posh kids' quad. Where did they get this story? Well, they got it from the INS news agency, who called me and asked for comments on all these events. And where did the INS news agency get this story from? Well, they got it from Facebook. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I love Facebook more than any other student in this room. It's a great networking device. To us, a service, easily accessible, free, it seems fantastic. But there is a very other nasty side to it. And that's what the internet has against it. Another side that the average punter just does not see. It's a way for companies to check up on you before they read your CV. It's a way for the INS News Agency to see who is naked wrestling in Oxford on a daily basis. Indeed, in this case, to steal semi-naked photos of union officers and stick it in the Daily Mail online edition. So, in this motion, I'd argue that the internet is an exceptionally powerful force. It has a lot to offer us as individuals and a lot to offer us as a democracy. But it also has a very negative side. And so as a result, until these issues are cleared up, I beg the House to oppose the motion tonight.
What they really want to know is what type of person you are. And what the internet really provides for us is every single detail of your life. Now you may think that's rather scary. And I must admit that if I was running for president of the union at some point in the near future, I'd also think it was rather scary given my past. But what I will say to you, ladies and gentlemen, is it's very important for us as people who are making decisions on who are going to lead us in the future, that we do know all of those intimate, rather nasty details of our leaders. And frankly, maybe what the internet will do in the future is provide us the ultimate question of, what is Alex Just wearing underneath that kilt? And for that alone, I would say that the internet is the greatest force of modernization.
Is fundamentally misguided, because as has been heard actually on both sides of the table, everything, every single fact you can raise about how the internet has been used is true. Every single way that an authoritarian regime has oppressed gentlemen, some of them sitting down two sides of the debate even as we sit here. And every way that it's been used by some of the gentlemen sitting down both sides to spread democratization and to help people speak for themselves is true, and it's been done like that. Because it's a tool. It's the same tool as those printing presses that have been used to print hundreds of copies of the Constitution of the State of Israel and hundreds of thousands of copies of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which act in opposition to it. Fundamentally, it is nothing more than that. It is what we make it. And the battleground surrounding democratization is the one of the ideas that it actually communicates with and the ideas that it has to argue against. That is all it is, and that is all that this motion has to seek to oppose on the grounds of. Because while it may be the greatest tool for democratization that democratization has in its arm, it can also be the greatest tool that authoritarianism and racism and bigotry and all those things that we as people perpetrate on each other have in our armies to perpetrate against each other. And for those reasons, the motion must be fundamentally opposed.
Stories of their experience of human rights abuses, like a YouTube for human rights. And these are people who would very often not have the opportunity, not have the chance of getting an audience, not having a chance of getting connection to activists. And I think they really feel that the internet gives them an opportunity to be heard and be seen and make connections and make changes like no other tool before it. For sure, it's a cat and mouse game and it's changing. It's a fight for democracy. That's always been that way. But we now have a chance of a 50-foot tall mouse with the internet.